You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Warriors Off-Court, the San Francisco Chronicles NBA podcast. I'm your host, Warriors beat writer Connor Letourneau, and today I'm joined by Matt Velasquez, the Milwaukee Bucks beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Velasquez has been covering the Bucks for 3 years, and in that time, he has seen Giannis Antetokounmpo blossom into an NBA MVP and global phenomenon. As the Warriors map out their future, they're intrigued about the possibility of perhaps adding Giannis, either in a trade or as a free agent in summer 2021. How realistic is that? And what will go into Giannis' decision? On Wednesday afternoon, Matt sat down with me at Chase Center to go in-depth on Giannis and what the future could hold for him. So Matt, we're here in the media room at Chase Center. You just got out of a Bucks shoot-around. I know it was one of your few road shoot-arounds this season, so you're happy about that. Everything around Giannis is crazy, I'm sure. And so I kind of want to dig into what it is like covering the best team in the NBA, which I'm actually pretty well familiar with over the past few years, but specifically the circus surrounding Giannis, his future. As you know, every team in the NBA is already thinking about 2021. Should that day come, if he doesn't resign next summer, you know, I think it could really change the whole landscape of the league. I think teams are already thinking about what they would do to free up that type of salary cap space. The Warriors included. There's a vocal contingent of Warriors fans who are eyeing Giannis, and I think this game tonight is going to have a lot of Warriors salivating of thinking of him in a Warriors uniform and just how what that would mean for the franchise. Now, let's preface this by saying this is a long shot. That's an understatement, but it's fun to talk about. And it's fun to think about the possibilities. So you said you're in your third year on the Bucks beat. Kind of take us through what the past few years have been, you know, building up to this point now where they're truly the best team in the league. I think a lot of people have them breaking through in the playoffs and finally making the finals. What has this process and this build been like from your perspective?
Oh man, there's been a lot to it. And like, in addition to the 3 years I've been on the beat, I got to Milwaukee, helped out covering the Bucks, you know, on a part-time basis with the paper back in 2013. So I got there when Giannis got there, and that's when the Bucks were a 15-win team and they were a mess, and they still had their old dingy practice facility, still played at the Bradley Center. They had, you know, a previous ownership group. So it's been a total transformation over the course of the past like 5 or 6 years, from the, you know, ownership, coaching staff, new GM, new practice facility, new arena, like everything about the whole team, the franchise has changed. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the way that Giannis, you know, has grown as a player. He went from, you know, 6'9" when he was drafted and skinny and, you know, raw, to becoming this like chiseled, like Greek god MVP of the league caliber player, something that like the Bucks, I think they like hoped for, like in their like absolute wildest, like unbridled dreams.
Yeah.
And now they're like, oh my gosh, like this happened.
Yeah.
And you know, they've done a good job of building around him. You know, there was a time when you weren't sure if it was going to be Jabari Parker or Giannis, or, you know, because he came in as the number two pick and potentially, you know, one of those savior type guys that you can finally get that high pick. You know, and then he got hurt a couple times, and Giannis blossomed, and, you know, Chris Middleton became kind of that, like, you know, number two, like running mate kind of guy. And they've just like slowly but surely tinkered with how they were doing things, you know, from a roster perspective, from their front office, their coach. And I think they've finally reached the point where they got everything that they wanted to have. Like, they want to have, you know, that roster flexibility and versatility. They want to be able to play in different ways, that all of which accentuate what Giannis can do and what his teammates can do. And so it's just been been crazy. Because, like, if you told me, like, right. you know, back in 2013, like, this team that I started watching was going to become this, and it was right. going to all be around, you know, this, like, kind of scrawny, yeah. like, you know, first-round pick that nobody really knew, I would have thought you were crazy.
And the Bucks really haven't had a true face of the franchise, you know, that lives up to other faces of other franchises since Lou Alcindor, right? I mean, Michael Redd was a really nice good, player. Yeah. You know, Glenn Robinson was an all-star. But outside of that,
I mean, they had Ray Allen.
Ray Allen. I shouldn't forget Ray Allen.
He's kind of a part of that big three that they had. Right. You know, Sam Cassell for a time. You know, and obviously in the 80s, they had a bunch of really good teams, but they never could get past like the Celtics and the Sixers. And they just couldn't get over the hump. So, I mean, Kareem and Oscar, like those are like the gold standards
right.
Of what the Bucks ever were. And they had, you know, like I said, strong teams in the 80s, but history doesn't really remember the teams that right. that are really good, but don't make the finals and don't break through. And so now like, to have somebody who's on like an NBA and worldwide like basis in terms of like face and name recognition. Like when you hear Giannis, like there's yeah. only one.
Right.
And like everybody, you know,
and no one wants to spell that last knows. Name or pronounce yeah. that last name.
So. I mean, Adetokounmpo is not.
How long did it take you to get that down?
It took me a while. You know, that my first year on the beat, I was constantly trying to like retype it and make sure to save it like in Word so like it would autocorrect yeah. if I got it wrong. Yeah. And then even then I was saying Antetokounmpo, which is more of the Greek, but I think yeah. the way he says it is more Adetokounmpo, which is truer to the initial, you know, pronunciation from Nigerian. Mm. And so I think he's okay with however it comes out, but yeah. it's always fun to see which coaches
yeah.
like try to say it. And like Dwayne Casey will always say Adetokounmpo. You know, another guy's right. just like, Giannis, like it's yeah. whatever. But it, you know, it's definitely a learning curve.
So he's obviously, like you said, become a worldwide phenomenon. What have you seen him do for not just Milwaukee basketball, but Milwaukee is a city, you mm-hmm. know, because people are talking about Milwaukee now. Obviously, Milwaukee's one of the smallest markets in the NBA. It's you know, what, 90 minutes away from kind of in the shadow of Chicago in right. some ways. It's super cold. Yes. Not a ton of NBA guys from there. There are some. There's actually two on the Warriors, Jordan Poole and yeah. Kevon Looney. But what have you seen just what he's meant to that city?
I mean, he's totally like galvanized the fan base. And I think the fan base was kind of there and latent. But, you know, he, along with the new ownership, like, they've given the Bucks like a brand that people want. Like, people now want to come to Milwaukee in the middle of winter to see him. Yeah. Like, it's the Bucks, you know, the whole team is good, but, like, he's the draw. Like, we all yeah. know he's the draw. Like, if they had a team that was everyone else on their roster and they were, you know, 20-something win team right now and doing pretty well, like, people might come, but, like, he's the draw. Like, yeah. he's why people, you know, pay admission and, you know, it's worthwhile. Like, pretty much every time you get right. to see him, it's great. And so, you know, people are talking about Milwaukee and, you know, you get to see Milwaukee in springtime, like right. because the Bucks are actually deep in the playoffs, and you know they were last year. And Milwaukee in springtime and summer is like it's a great city. I think everybody would agree with that. At least everybody who's been there.
Right.
And so you get to see a little bit more of that, and you get to see like this kind of different face of the city, and you start talking about okay, like now they got this new arena, and what does that mean for the city, for the state? You know, they're developing the downtown. I don't know. If it's easy to sell that, like especially to the taxpayers in Wisconsin, if you don't have a hope that this team is actually going to be good, and right. because they had Giannis, because they had like kind of that core, I think that maybe helped mm-hmm. because people say, okay, like this team, they're trying, they're doing something, they're building, they're not just gonna like take the money and just put out a bad product. Like they are growing and doing that. And you know, Giannis has spoken many times over the course I've been covering him about how much he likes Milwaukee, how he enjoys right. it. It's the only place that he's lived since he came over from Greece. He likes that it's kind of chill. He's more of a quiet, chill guy. He's said in the past he doesn't really love like the big cities or mm-hmm. you know the attention and all that. He can go to restaurants and people will generally leave him alone because they had a few years where like they'd be, oh that's Giannis yeah. and they would try and like take pictures and say hi, but once you've had that first interaction, like you just let it go because right. like you don't want to be a nuisance. And that's I feel like that's kind of
and
like,
they also want to make sure he's nice. Enjoying his time
yes.
in Milwaukee and wants to stay there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, so he's really enjoyed
at least, you know, by his own admission, he's enjoyed being in Milwaukee and the different things the city has to offer. And obviously he spent a lot of time over the summer traveling all over the world to sell his new shoes, to play in FIBA, to go back and visit Greece. But, you know, he does spend a lot of time in Milwaukee too. And I think that people see that and appreciate that about
him. It's already been a big topic of conversation for at least a year now, a couple years probably, about his future and what could happen. He's still, you know, a while away from a, signing a potential contract extension, which would be, I think, around like 5 years, $250 million, which he could sign next summer. And if he doesn't do that, the chatter is really going to heat up, and then everyone's going to be awaiting what happens in summer 2021. What has it been like for you covering just all the speculation and chatter surrounding that, and what has he provided, if anything, of insight for you?
Yeah, so he's, I remember asking him at Media Day, because obviously it's like the first time that we have to talk about that, and it's, you know, it's going to be a thing that people are talking about all year. So I was like, hey, Giannis, how do you approach all of that this year? And his response was pretty clear. Like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, he thinks it's disrespectful to his teammates to have to talk about that stuff. He just wants to focus on, you know, the kind of cliche stuff, getting better every day, working hard, you know, having the best year they possibly can. They obviously got the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They want to get further than that. They believe they have the team and the talent to do it. And so they want to focus on that. He wants to focus on that. And, you know, it was kind of interesting, because right before the start of the season, you know, our newspaper, we learned that there's this Harvard Business School study, and you know, there were quotes from Giannis in there, and you know, the quotes were saying that, or at least he supposedly told them sometime in the spring, they're like, you know, oh hey, if you know, if we keep doing what we're doing, there's no place I'd rather be, but if we're underperforming or whatever, then
The study exactly again?
It was some part of some Harvard Business School class. Just they were doing the Bucks as like a case study for how to build a successful company or whatever. And he's like, but if we're underperforming or whatever, you know, it's gonna make my decision a lot harder. And then we talked to him before the first game, you know, at shoot around in Houston. He was like, I never said those words in my life. And so that became kind of a
thing. That's fascinating.
Yeah. And so and it was pretty innocuous. Like, even if the quote was attributed to him and it was correct, you know, apparently he says it was not. We'll see whatever happens with that.
It's hard to believe that Harvard Business School just like makes something up.
Yeah,
but
and, you know, it gets it's kind of just died away. But he, I mean, because they talked to a whole bunch of other people as part of the study. But what he said though was still pretty innocuous. Right. Like, the Bucks are doing well. If we keep doing well, why would I leave? Right. And if things go sideways, I think about maybe doing something else. It's like, that's not.
But it was a thing, because that's probably the most insight he's provided. Yeah,
that's as far as he's gone, or at least, you know, as far as the record says he's gone. We can kind of walk the line of saying, well, I'm not totally sure if he said it or not said it. You know, they supposedly have it on tape. Whatever. I don't know. But I mean, it just makes sense, right? Like, if you're the best player in the league, if you're the MVP and your team is a championship caliber team, like, it makes sense that you'd want to stay. And if your team is ultimately not a championship caliber team, or something does not go well, or doesn't seem to fit, which, you know, I don't think this has happened at all.
Right.
But if that is the case, then like, then you consider what your options are.
We'll have more of my conversation with Matt Velasquez right after the break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So you're in a position as a beat writer where you have to, at least you're being asked to kind of read someone's mind a little bit, because there's not a ton of actual information. You have spent time around him. I'm sure you've gotten to know him and what he's about and what drives him. So just, you know, going out on a little bit of a limb here, what do you think it's going to take for the Bucks to secure him long term? And what validity, if any, is there in concern that he will leave?
Well, I think, you know, everything that he's always said is he just wants to win. Like, he doesn't care about the MVP or individual awards or stats or whatever. He just wants to win. And so if the Bucks can prove to him that they are, as currently constituted, are a team that can win at the highest level, whether that means, you know, I don't know if that means getting to the Eastern Conference Finals again and performing better but not making it to the finals, or if it means getting to the finals or means winning the finals. I'm not sure where that threshold is. But, you know, they need to win. And the big, that's the big question. Like, we're not going to have an answer, you know, obviously not until like June 30th, July 1st, when he does or does not, because they're going to extend him the Supermax. Like, right. They'd be really dumb not to. And, you know, general manager John Horst before the season said, we're going to give him the Supermax, and he got fined for it, for just saying the obvious. But
it was probably, I don't blame him for taking that fine. Like, you want to get it out there as soon as possible. Look, we're not dumb. We love this guy. We'll do anything in our powers to keep him.
Exactly. It's like, you know, what's $50,000, you know, from the Bucks if it ends up leading to retaining a generational talent?
Yeah.
It's like, maybe it's worth it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what he wants. He just wants to know that he's supported, that they are doing everything they can to win, because he knows he's doing everything he can to win. So if he's surrounded by a coach and teammates and a front office and ownership, and everyone's aligned on the same goal, and they can actually execute and achieve at a high level, I think that's the most important thing.
And that's going to be such a interesting kind of specter cast on these playoffs, because if for some reason they just lay an egg in the first round and get upset by an 8 seed, which isn't going to happen, but if it did, like, that would just be hysteria, right? Because there would be just rampant speculation about what that means for Giannis's future.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think that for a team that hadn't won a playoff series like since 2001, that they just finally got the Eastern Conference Finals last year, that if they don't make it past the second round this year, like, that's going to be considered an absolute, like, calamity. Like, that's going to be a huge problem, and it's going to create a very intriguing summer for the Bucks and for Giannis and for everyone. So, really for the NBA.
Yeah.
So, you know, they need to get to the Eastern Conference Finals or beyond that, I think, at least to quiet some of that, you know, the thoughts that people might
have. So it's fair to say this is going to be a very important playoff run for the Bucks' future.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely is. And, like, yes, like, they still have him for another year under contract. But, you know, as we all know, like, if a star-level player does not sign that Supermax extension immediately, there's going to be a lot of conversation, and suddenly other teams think they have a chance, and they have a reason to believe it, because, like, if you're not immediately signing the richest contract in NBA history, that's a pretty clear signal that, like, you're open to other opportunities.
Right.
And so, you know, we'll see. I mean, there's a distinct possibility that the Bucks do well this season, that they get to the finals, maybe win the finals. I mean, they have the best record in the NBA right now, so that is within the realm of possibility. And Giannis signs Supermax on June 30th, and all the projections and all the hopes of all the other teams fall by the wayside. But there's also, you know, the other side of the coin where Giannis might not take that Supermax. And, you know, suddenly all these teams that have been maneuvering to try to open up that cap space in the future or try to do whatever they can to maybe lure him away, they all think they're in the race.
Yeah.
And so it'll be fascinating. And the one thing is, part of my job this year, I don't know if it's made it easier or just kind of simpler, the Bucks haven't had any drama. They're 32-6 at the time we're talking right now. It's not like things are happening where it gives reason for speculation, like that Giannis wouldn't be happy or things aren't going well. It's like, well, things are going really well. The Bucks are pretty much killing everybody they're playing. They lose when, you know, the Spurs shoot 54% for three, or, you know, Philly has an incredible game on Christmas and played super well. But other than that, like, they haven't had, like, weird losses or losing streaks or discontent. Like, they've generally been like, ho-hum, let's just go win another game.
Yeah, and that you know, bodes well for Giannis's future, because he doesn't seem to be a guy who likes drama or that type of stuff. I'll never forget during the presser last spring when he got up, was asked that question and got up. He was asked that question about his, I don't even know if it was about his future, but that story had just dropped about his future. Right. Mm-hmm. And he just got up, which shows you that's a strong signal there. Like, I am not putting up with any BS when it comes to chatter about my future.
Yeah. No, he has generally done a good job of, like, trying to stay away from all the talk. Like he's said in the past, I remember last year, he would talk about how he would have like family members who would like remind him not to look at social media, to delete his Twitter, like to just not pay attention because he doesn't want to, like, and that was like when he was being talked about as like a potential MVP. It wasn't even like anything negative or salacious. It was like, oh man, this guy's incredible. Like he just didn't want to read his own, his own news. He didn't want to know what people were saying, or at least like have it be like ever present, like in his face. It's just, I just remember him in Indiana last year. And the only drama he likes are like, he calls like the Kardashians, like keeping up with the Kardashians, a drama. He's like, oh, I love dramas. I love dramas.
And, as long as he's not in it.
No, exactly. He likes watching other people and their crazy lives. But for him, he's very focused on, you know, his team, you know, how hard he works, his family, you know, his girlfriend, that they're expecting a baby coming up. Like, you know, he's trying to kind of like continue to lay the foundation of his life and do that in like a quiet, like, you know, workmanlike way, and that's kind of how his personality is.
And I think part of what the Warriors love about him, beyond the fact that he's a generational player, is he has a little bit of Steph in him. You know, he's a friendly, nice, genuine person who's rooted in his faith and rooted in his family. And Steph and him, I think, have actually kind of bonded over that. They have the same representation. They people saw them at All-Star last year, chatting it up. They're friendly. I don't know if they're close friends, but they are definitely friendly. And so I think that's been part of the kernel of intrigue with the Warriors and Warriors fans is, hey, you know, if he's close with Steph, maybe he'll want to come play with Steph. And if he decides to leave Milwaukee, we can be at the top of the list. You know, one thing I've learned covering the Warriors is that I'm never going to underestimate Bob Myers. He, you know, orchestrated a very complex sign and trade for D'Angelo Russell, got something out of losing Kevin Durant at the last minute, which was impressive. You know, he was able to put together a roster that is probably the best in NBA history. Obviously, it helped that Steph was on a bargain contract at the time, but still. So just kind of almost for fun, I wrote something yesterday looking at what it would take for the Warriors to get Giannis. Now, there's a lot of what ifs here. A lot of things would have to happen. But if he became available, if he was not going back to Milwaukee, the Warriors, on a basic level, to sign him outright, would have to get rid of Klay Thompson, which is a big deal.
Very big deal.
They'd have to get rid of Klay Thompson and either Draymond Green or D'Angelo Russell. And then some of their key young guys to free up enough cap space to sign Giannis. Now, there's a debate within the Warriors community of, is that even worth it? Like, do you want to give up Klay Thompson for Giannis? I personally am of the camp, yes. Now, Klay Thompson is a phenomenal player, has meant so much to this franchise, not just in terms of what he's done on the court, but he fits their ethos. He's just about – he represents a lot of what the Warriors are about. So, I obviously, it'd be super tough to watch him go. But you have to understand, 2021, he'll be 31 years old. Draymond will be 31 years old. Steph will be 33 years old. Giannis will only be 26.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's crazy to me to, like, we're talking a couple years out, and he'll only be 26. And this is a guy who's already accomplished so much, MVP in the league. And 26, you know, there have been studies done, 27 is supposed to be the heart of your prime in the NBA. So he'll just be hitting the heart of his prime in the NBA. And to me, yes, it would stink to lose Klay Thompson. But it's worth it because it can put you in a position to follow that Spurs model and be relevant nationally for years to come. Because he'll have a couple years learning from Steph and playing along Steph. And then Steph retires, and then he's only like 28, 29 years old.
Yeah.
And he can kind of lead them into that next era.
Yeah.
Do you think that's kind of – are you of that feeling, or do you think that that's a lot to give up?
I mean, it is a lot to give up.
Yeah.
But I think when you look at, I mean, the potential or the possibility or the dream of Giannis and Steph being together, like just their individual gravities, like I can't imagine – their teammates would ever see any better shots than they've ever, like, these would be the best shots they've ever seen in their lives.
Right.
Cause like Giannis pulls so many defenders and you can't leave Steph
right.
from three. So if Giannis is going inside and Steph's outside, like they're gonna have all the eyes of the defenders on them. And like, you can really like open up a lot of options for the rest of the team, whoever's on that team. You know, and you know that Giannis is going to get his and Steph would get his, and like they would get incredibly open shots for everybody else. So I could see how like that would fit and would make sense and be really hard. I think probably near impossible with how much this Warriors team has committed to Klay Thompson, how much he's committed to them to separate the Splash Brothers and all that. Right. But like, you know, it's there's no loyalties like in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like you have to kind of treat it like a business. And you know, I don't know if they would do that, but like you could see where they might draw a line. Where they say, you know what, we need to pivot for the future, and we need to take advantage of this opportunity if it presents itself. And kind of going back to what you were talking about before with Giannis and Steph being friendly, I would just caution anyone who thinks that might be like more of a friendship or anything, because mm-hmm. Giannis has on record many times, and like it's just kind of his mentality. Like he does not want to be friends with anyone. Like in the NBA, he's like, if you're not on my team, like you are not my friend. I don't want to go to your camp. I don't want to work out with you. Like he doesn't have that kind of like buddy. Team USA type situation that a lot of other guys have. Like he's like the one NBA player.
So he's not Kevin Durant is what you're saying.
No, he's not. And he's not trying to link up with people as far as I know and as far as he's projected. Like he plays for Greece when he, you know, plays internationally, and like he's like the one NBA player, you know,
yeah. Along with even brother. With him, that Greece team isn't great.
Yeah. And like, you know, I also don't think they use him very well, and I would guess you'd probably agree with that. But you know, that's neither here nor there. But he doesn't have like the connections from college, from AAU, from being here. And he's like not trying to make them. He very much like has that like Kobe mentality. Like he used to, you know, watch and idolize Kobe Bryant. And, you know, Kobe wasn't a guy who was like, I'm your friend. Like he wasn't soft and cuddly with his opponents. Like he wanted to like, you know, destroy everyone. That's kind of Giannis's mentality. So, you know, obviously Giannis throwing down a lob from Steph in the All-Star game was super fun and cool, and they're smiling and enjoying it. I think he can embrace the moment because they were on a team. Like he sees that the team was a thing, and once that team isn't a thing anymore, like when things mean something, like that there are no alliances, there's like no camaraderie, like whatever. On the court, he's like going for blood like at all times.
I definitely don't think it's a situation where he would ever like leave to go like play with Steph Curry.
Right.
But I do think that if he reached a point where he's not going back to Milwaukee, it would help, right? Sure. I mean, it helps to have some sort of relationship, and it helps given what the Warriors have accomplished and what they represent and their reputation as a player-oriented organization and all those things. And that's why, you know, Ramona Shelburne came out and said the Warriors would be the biggest threat in the Giannis sweepstakes if he doesn't go back to Milwaukee. And I think there's some truth to that for sure.
And if you can, you know, if you're Giannis and all you want to do is win, you would probably want to go somewhere where they've proven they can win. Like where they have an infrastructure in terms of coaching, front office, players that have demonstrated an ability to like win at the highest level. So like you would think that the teams that have done that have either coaches with a pedigree or GMs with a pedigree, or even just the franchise in general, even maybe the coaching pieces have changed. If he thinks that there's like an institutional, you know, championship like culture, then like I think that would probably help. I mean, I can't imagine it would hurt.
Right.
I mean, I think that, you know, I don't want to like drag the Knicks, but like we all know like the situation.
Yeah, did not work out so well.
And it's like, okay, like if you're a free agent who is, you know, at the top of their game, you know, that Knicks like mystique is gone. Right. And so like why would you choose a team that, like if they had cap space, which they probably will, why would you pick their open cap space versus somebody else's if maybe you can find somebody who's proven they can succeed.
Right.
And I think we saw some of that this summer, like with the Nets and stuff. But it's all about if it actually gets to that point. So we'll have to see.
Matt, I really appreciate you joining. Just for our listeners out there, where can they find your work? Where can they find you on Twitter? I'm sure there's going to be people that want to, you know, keep up on Giannis on a day-to-day basis. So
yeah, you know, you can find my work at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, jsonline.com. And on Twitter, I'm Matt_Velasquez.
Thanks, man.
Warriors Off Court is part of the San Francisco Chronicle podcast network. Audrey Cooper is the editor-in-chief. If you like this show, we'd love it if you subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a minute to give us a quick review, that helps us build our audience so we can keep growing. Follow me on Twitter at @Con_Cron and email me at cleturno@sfchronicle.com. Support Warriors Off-Court and a lot of great journalism with a subscription to the San Francisco Chronicle. There are print and digital editions. Find out more at sfchronicle.com/subscribe.